Hello everyone, welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome today's program Tyler Owen, who is Senior Director of Solution Strategy at JDA Software. And today we're going to talk about three disruptors of retail workforce management: omnichannel, labor laws, and millennials. So certainly kind of a diverse set of factors there, but if you've been following the retail industry at all, you realize that each of those things are having a significant impact on a variety of aspects of retailers' businesses, in particular, supply chain logistics processes, and certainly when it comes to a workforce, standpoint, both at the distribution centers as well as the stores, it's having an impact. So it's great to have Tyler with us today to kind of shed some light on these three disruptors, if you will, and what's happening there and how retailers responding to these challenges, and what are some best practices and advice that he can provide along these fronts. So, very happy to have Tyler here, who's kind of on the front lines, with many retailers on these topics. I just want to remind those of you that are joining us live today that, part of our goal here at Talking Logistics is to make this conversational. So if you do have a question for Tyler as we're having a conversation here, you can do so via the submit a question button. And if it's a good and appropriate question, I'll try to weave it into the conversation. So with that, Tyler, welcome to the program.
Adrian, thank you. Happy to be here.
So, Tyler, as a first-time guest, like I always do with all first-time guests, I always try to find a little bit about, their background, how and why they got involved with supply chain logistics to begin with. So kind of before we dive into the topic, why don't you tell us a little bit, briefly about your career path, how and why you got involved with supply chain logistics and what your current role and responsibilities are there at JDA?
Sure, Adrian. So I started in retail, spent about a decade and a half with retailers like Kmart, Michaels, and the Sports Authority, primarily in store management and in district management. And it was around 2000. I had a little bit of an epiphany, if you will. I realized retail was not going to be where I wanted to spend the rest of my career. So I quickly started looking for how can I leverage my retail experience into another job category. Software was looming large at the time, so let me put these two things together, what I know about retail, and jump into the software arena. So I left managing a large district and went to work answering the help desk phone at a small software company by the name of GERS, and I've worked my way up since then. So it's been 15-plus years. I've done IT. I've done services, spent about a decade-plus running services organizations, sales, and then in the last 2 years, I've been responsible for JDA Store Operations Solution Strategy, which is ideally what I love to do. I have a master's degree in HR. I know all about retail in the store. And when you talked about these pending challenges, it's a very exciting time in retail right now. There's a lot going on in the space, both naturally in the ecosystem and then a lot of external influences as well. So I'm happy to be on your show today and share some information with you.
Great, Tyler, and great experience, relative to this topic. I can't imagine why you didn't want to spend your career in retail with, particularly with all the fun, exciting stuff that's going on there right now. And of course, there's probably no bigger buzz term out there and disruptor, if you will, than omnichannel. And, a lot of discussion taking place there, by analysts such as myself, as well as the media, when you go to conferences, it just seems that omnichannel, over the past, 2 or 3 years has really, been one of these areas that, has consumed a lot of time and effort and playing a big role in the strategy of a lot of retailers. But certainly, as it relates to supply chain logistics processes, it's having a big impact there. Let's talk a little bit about how it's impacting workforce management in particular, both at the distribution center level as well as the store level. What are you seeing there?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. So I think we all know that the traditional way that our supply chain used to work, very linear, right, from manufacturers through distribution centers to retail stores, was turned on its ear. That very one-directional supply chain changed, and now we've got arrows going all different directions. We've got buy online, ship from store, buy online, pick up in store, ship from the distribution center. And that all this change really changes and affects the workforce in a lot of different ways. The first way is in the very nature of the work that's done. If you think about it, retail stores never really had to do pick, pack, and ship, right? They didn't have to pick orders. And now we have a lot of retailers who are picking multiple orders a day and shipping them. And so somebody's pushing around a cart, doing almost interleaving, if you will, from a warehousing perspective. trying to get all the orders together and shipping them out of the store. This isn't a skill set that belongs in retail or hasn't historically been there. When I was in retail, there were four walls around your building. Merchandise came in the back door, customers came in the front door, and hopefully merchandise and the customers went back out that front door, right? At least that's the way we wanted it to happen. That's no longer, right? The walls are permeable now, both from an omnichannel perspective and a lot of the other collection lockers or other different ways that retailers are trying to meet this new omnichannel demand. The reality situation is we've got a bunch of disparate systems that are out there, retail specifically a lot of disparate systems, that weren't tied together to really meet what the consumer's expectations are today. And so many of them we're seeing are doing a lot with order management systems and trying to integrate those. And that has a dramatic bearing on the workforce as well, because now you've got people reacting to what that order management solution is doing. So that has a dramatic bearing. The one other piece is that I've seen some interesting statistics lately, and the supply chain folks will just be really surprised when they hear this, is that how do you think retailers really solve the problem of challenges with omnichannel and having inventory in different places? Well, they've been able to solve it by throwing more inventory at the problem. We spent decades taking inventory out of the supply chain, and now because of omnichannel, we've had to put it back in. So relative to the amount of sales that were going up, the amount of inventory that retailers are carrying in relation to what's going on to omnichannel, to that channel, is dramatically more than what it should be. And that's something that they're going to be working on for the next decade.
Yeah, no, a lot of food for thought there, and a lot of factors, going on there. I mean, certainly, I know when I've been to retail stores now, I've actually seen, associates walking through the store basically doing tasks that you would normally associate with, a warehouse, if you will. So stores have become, the warehouse here. So in terms of, in terms of the type of people and the way, retailers hire, the type of folks and skills that they're looking for at the store level. I mean, how is omnichannel affecting that? I mean, are there certain skills or knowledge that are more important today than in the past?
Yes. So depending upon the role and depending upon the retailer, I've talked to some retailers who are, pick packing and shipping nearly 100 orders per store per day. Then there's a lot of retailers who are only doing a handful, right? And so you start thinking about what that impact is. Is this one associate that is normally a sales associate that I cross-train to pick orders and have them available for customers? Or is this a completely different role within my store, somebody who comes in at 6 and before noon when the shipments are due to be out has got everything picked, packed, and shipped? So it's dramatically different, and retailers are having to recruit different skill sets for that, right? Generically, retailers weren't really concerned if their associates could lift more than 50 pounds. Well, guess what? They may need to do so now, right? So it is really much more of a blend of the warehouse and the store associates, those skill sets really beginning to overlap quite a bit more. And you're finding that it's also bringing a real focus on salesmanship from the perspective that people who are really good at sales tend to gravitate toward those positions more, and people who are more, back-end focused tend to, get more towards those positions. So I would say there's more of a stratification of the roles within the retail store as well because of the omnichannel phenomenon. And then the last piece that I would characterize around that is it also impacts the interaction with the omnichannel with the order management solution as well, from the perspective that an order management solution is trying to make the best decision as to where it wants to ship an order from or fulfill an order from to meet the customer commitment and do it in the lowest cost means. But now you really need to be able to look at the labor pool as well, right? So if I'm the order management solution, what's the best labor decision? Not just inventory decision, right? Do I want to have 10 orders filled by one person in one store? Or do I want to have 10 orders filled by 5 people in 2 different stores? Or whatever the combination might be. So if you think about it, you really need to start thinking about labor being part of the equation, not just inventory. And that relates to exactly the work that's being done in the store or in the distribution center.
Yeah, that's a great point. You bring out there in terms of truly understanding the total cost, if you will, and having that granular understanding. And historically, that's still probably the case, right? Where labor at the store level is more expensive than labor at the distribution center level. But I don't know if that formula still holds true today, or because now you've got more automation, arguably at the DC side of things, but obviously, I think at the end of the day is that you do have different labor costs, whether you're doing a distribution center or at the store, or whether you're doing it, in store one part of town versus a store in a different part of town, a different part of the state. So I think all those things, complicate the picture, right?
They really do. I would tell you that on the whole, the end of cheap retail labor has come and gone, right? And if you start to look at the legal environment that's out there, but just talk about the minimum wage raises. If you're in New York or California, we're working towards a progressive scale of $15 an hour, right? Which is dramatically higher. And it really starts to force their hand, right? Retailers really have three cost centers, one being real estate, the second being inventory, and the third being labor, labor being the largest controllable expense item. And labor used to be cheap. Retailers could throw inexpensive labor at a problem, but they can't do that any longer. And it's starting to see not only do our employers starting to look at that labor asset as being strategic, something they really need to leverage, but we're also going to see a lot more in what I would say store logistics as opposed to warehouse logistics. We're going to see a lot of software and processes come about to refine what happens in the store. Instead of just, for example, I get a big shipment, taking that entire shipment to the store at sales floor, filling the counter, seeing what fits, and then taking the rest back to the stockroom. How about intelligence that knows how many we have on the sales floor right now? We know what the shelf capacity is and tells the person who's going to be doing the replenishment, you need eight on the counter, right? So they don't haul five cases out and four cases back. We'll get a lot more intelligent in the store as time progresses.
Yeah, great point. I mean, I think we could probably talk about omnichannel and the labor component of it for hours on end. But let's move on to the second disruptor now, which is millennials. I mean, what impact are they having, both as consumers, right? Because they're part of the retail equation as well, and as employees in the retail workforce.
That's a great question. I would answer it in two ways. The first component is understand the gravity of the situation. By the time we get to the year 2020, greater than 50% of the retail workforce will be millennials, right? So better than half of our workforce in just a few years in the retail space will be millennials. And these people grew up with technology in their pocket. You and I remember what a landline phone was like. We saw the advent of the beeper, right? We remember all these things, right? Millennials don't have that experience, right? And for them, vinyl records are nostalgia. Sorry about that. Computer timed out.
No, no
So for
worries.
them,
You
even
were
vinyl records.
still on camera, so it was still you were still on camera, so it was fine.
All right. So I would say that the millennials obviously are a big part of that workforce, but what do they bring to the table? The two factors I wanted to mention. The first one is that we need to enable these people to have the tools that they're used to be able to fulfill customer expectations, right? So these people are very used to technology. We should be able to give them technology tools that allow them to satisfy customer needs. With the consumerization of retail, the customers are coming in, they know way more than the sales associate does in many cases about what's going on, maybe even what their inventory level is. If you don't arm your sales associate with technology that allows them to do endless aisle capabilities, locate a product somewhere else and ship it to their home, what have you, then you're missing out. You really need to have one, give those millennials the technology tools to be able to service the customer. The second thing I would say is that as an employer, as a retailer, you really need to be able to provide tools that give better employee interaction and engagement between yourself and that retail employee. What do I mean by that? When you and I were growing up working in retail or wherever you worked, you went and looked at the schedule that was on the wall, wrote it down, made a photocopy if you could, whatever you did, right? And then many of today's retailers are still doing that, right? And they've got people taking pictures and group texting their schedules around. But really, that's very antiquated thinking. What you really need to be able to have is a workforce management solution that gives them the information and the engagement they're looking for. I should be able to see my schedule. How many hours have I worked? What's my pending schedule? I should be able to request time off. I should be able to see what my vacation balance is. I should be able to swap shifts. Maybe there's available shifts that have been posted that the system, couldn't assign somebody to. I can review those. If I need extra hours this week, maybe I'll claim one of those shifts. You really need to be able to have a tool that will let you engage with those millennials to let them feel like they're part of your business. Rainer Stracht in the workforce crisis of 2020, which was a TED talk that was given here in the last couple of years, indicated that not in the top 10, not even in the top 5, was pay in the millennials' view of what was important to them in the workplace. The top 4 items are all cultural based. So millennials really want better engagement. They want to feel valued by their employer. And if you give them a tool that allows them to better interact with you as a retailer, then you're going to be ahead of the game. And that's you're going to be a retailer they want to stay with versus walking, you know, two steps down to the next store in the mall and putting in their application.
Yeah, those are all great points, and I think, you know, part of the reason, you know, if you go into let's say an Apple store, which I think is probably, you know, when Apple opened up its stores, it was a very unique and different retail shopping experience, right? You had, you know, everyone walking around with the mobile devices or the tablets. You can check out right there without having to go into the cash register. So I think that, you know, like a lot of things, Apple kind of redefined in many ways kind of what a different retail experience could be, you know, one that's a little bit more modern, hip, technology driven, if you will. So when I think about millennials in the workforce, I tend to think about in the retail space, I tend to think about that Apple, you know, kind of experience. Not to say that that model works in all aspects of retail, but I think it is an indication of you know, some best practices or some ideas there that come out of that. Now, in terms of, you know, hiring, you know, millennials, I mean, I know there's a lot of, you know, buzz around, you know, how this workforce is, this generation of workers is different than our generation and so forth. I mean, going back to the topic of hiring and training, do retailers need to do anything different, you know, in terms of how to effectively hire, train, and I think the critical piece is retain, you know, a millennial workforce?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I will say there is. And I'll start at the beginning, which is, first of all, you need to be able to give them upfront a realistic viewpoint of how many hours they're going to be working a week, you know, what the role is going to be, right, what expectations are, things of that nature. And traditionally, retailers just kind of know who needs to be hired, right? A store manager has that seasoned experience, and I know the holidays are coming up. I'm going to need to hire extra cashiers or another person in this department. And it's constrained by your payroll percentage often. Retailers are working off of that metric or whatever the budget constraint might be, but they're still trying to find a way to hire, you know, just based upon a gut feel or their understanding of what they feel to be. There's no science behind it. And what I will tell you is that it's very easy to put science behind it. And what you really need to be able to do is have a prescriptive hiring solution, one that basically allows you to take your current staff, lay it over a future period, identify what the shortfall is, and then you've got your hiring plan, right? I know I'm going to need two cashiers. I need to train Sally to be able to do John's job in this department, and allows you to more, you know, scientifically approach getting the right employee at the right place at the right time, right? So I think that goes a long way towards establishing that initial relationship with that millennial. The second piece would go back to that employee engagement piece that I mentioned about giving them the right tools would be really important. But then in the Voice of the Associate survey that we just recently did, we had over 250 retailers respond to this survey, and it was store managers and store associates. And we asked them, you know, what's really important to you, right, in relation to how you interact with the employer? And I was really surprised. I thought they were going to tell me, oh, we want new whiz bang, super cool mobile tools, right? We want geofencing so we can punch in on our cell phone. That's not what we heard. What we heard from them is they want predictive scheduling. They want to be able to have a better, you know, be able to plan what their work-life balance is going to be. Tell me 2 weeks in advance what my schedule is going to be. And, you know, give me some predictable days that I can work and help me better balance my work, you know, playtime so that I can better, you know, live a more fulfilling life, which is something that, you know, working off of the millennials' terms is very different compared to the employer, hey, I want you here when I need you here type of mentality. So I think a lot of it is the way that you approach that workforce and engage them, particularly with tools, and then oftentimes just with the engagement strategy, how you see that associate.
Yeah, that's a great point there. I mean, I know, you know, one of my predictions for, you know, 2016 was that workforce management was going to be, you know, in the spotlight, you know, this year. And in particular, retail is one of those areas, particularly when you look at the holiday seasons. You know, one of the biggest criticisms that a lot of retail employees have is that they don't know what their schedule is going to be like. Or, you know, the retailer might call them the night before and say, hey, instead of coming 9 to 12, we need you 2 to 4 or whatever. And so not having that, you know, uncertainty around their schedule and unpredictability, you know, really is one of the, you know, the areas that a lot of retailers, whether they're millennials or older, you know, have a lot of frustration with. And certainly for millennials, you know, as you noted, I think that's an important piece. So let's talk about it. You mentioned this. You mentioned the increase in minimum wage and what's happening there in some states and some areas. So let's talk now about the third disruptor is basically changes in labor laws that are out there. There's been a lot of activity in this area. Some of it already, some laws already enacted, others that are pending, that can really significantly impact how retailers manage, schedule, and compensate employees. So, I mean, can you highlight some of the big legislation or laws that are kind of either been enacted or kind of pending, and how they, what impact that they might have for labor, workforce management?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. This is an area that is really scary if you're a retailer, right? I'll start with obviously the minimum wage increase. So you have minimum wage increases occurring in multiple different municipalities. California, New York are now leading the way with progressive scales, getting all the way up to $15 an hour. And that in and of itself is a tremendous impact on retailers. And you think about the wage compression there as well, right? So maybe I'm an employee who's making above minimum wage. Maybe I'm making $16 an hour. And now all of a sudden the person who was making $11 or $12 an hour below me is now right beneath me, right? So you're going to have a compression factor that's going to weigh in there as well. And I really think it's going to shift retailers to, having to adapt from a cost perspective to more part-time employees versus full-time employees, which is a trend that, isn't what the millennial workforce really wants to see, right? I think they'd much rather see, being able to have more consistent work hours. But what I will tell you is that there are a lot of other bearing factors of which I think are maybe even equal to or larger than the raising minimum wage. The first is the proposed changes to the Fair Labor Standards Act. The Fair Labor Standards Act changes are now over in Congress, the Budgetary Committee going through. And if that change goes through, what it effectively does is it changes the threshold for what an exempt versus non-exempt employee is. And right now that threshold from a dollar perspective is very low. It hasn't been adjusted for well over 20 years. And if the law goes through in its current position, we're going to see, again, a staggered scale. But it could take the threshold for basically the bottom amount you could pay a salaried person to a little over $50,000 a year. Now, that's a dramatic number. So the impact on that to retailers, well over 5 million people are going to be impacted by that in retail. These are assistant managers or, maybe leads, department leads, who have been made salary because they're working 40, 50, maybe even 60 hours a week, and they're making $30,000 or $40,000 a year. Now all of a sudden they're going to get a huge pay raise, or they're going to have to be converted to hourly. And retailers are quite frankly going to have to convert a lot more employees to hourly if the FLSA legislation does get approved and move through, which could happen as soon as this summer. So your prediction about 2016 is coming true in that respect. Some of the other pieces that are out there are also very interesting too. So out in San Francisco in the end of 2014, early 2015, they passed the Retail Workers Bill of Rights. And this kind of goes to the pieces you were talking about earlier. So it really encourages a fair and predictive workplace for employees. It forces retailers to post schedules 2 weeks in advance. If the retailer changes it within 2 weeks, depending upon when you change it, you have to pay penalty pay to that employee, right? Think about that from the perspective of now we're paying for people for hours they haven't even worked just because we changed the schedule. It also really discourages the use of on-call shifts, which is you talked about in the holiday season, and it's long been a tool of retailers to be able to use on-call scheduling to adapt to those, last-minute changes that occur in the retail workplace. And that practice is falling away. In the last 6 months, we've seen countless retailers say, hey, we're ending on-call scheduling practices, and it's been all over the news. And the Attorney General of New York last year had sent letters out to several large retailers threatening them around the practice. So it's one of those things that's really been very heavy and very important, and it's a practice that a lot of retailers still use. That I mentioned our survey previously. In our Voice of the Store Associate survey, we still found that nearly half the retailers were practicing on-call shifts, which tells you that it's still very pervasive out there in the marketplace. And then what I would tell you is that it's kind of a wild frontier. We've got Seattle and the District of Columbia are also trying to pass predictive, quality of life measures for retail employees, which also affects restaurant workers as well, but primarily it's geared towards retail and has a dramatic bearing. There's this concept of clopening, which is when you have a retail associate who may close in one evening and then open the next morning, and you don't have a lot of hours in between there. And that's been one of these things that several retailers and service establishments have been charged with. You can't have employees do that. So you really need to have a workforce management solution, or at least have a business practice in place that, puts a minimum number of hours between shifts, not just as far as continuous hours. So many more requirements coming down on the retailers, and the ecosystem is becoming more and more complex. And if I was to sum it all up in that capacity, I was just going to say, if a retailer, you really need to look at labor as a strategic asset. look at your business and decide how you're going to best respond to these things. If you don't have a workforce management solution, you need to get one, or you need to have somebody who's very good at monitoring your business practices to make sure you stay in compliance.
Well, you know, I mean, I knew at a high level some of these changes that were happening, but you provided some great details there. And obviously, you know, if all of these things pass or they become more national, you know, certainly will certainly create some challenges or cause retailers to really, you know, take a step back and really take a more holistic and strategic, to your point, strategic view of kind of their approach to labor and what makes the most sense there. So let's talk about, you know, technology now. Obviously, technology has a role to play here, and you've kind of touched upon it, you know, a few times during the conversation. You know, in particular with workforce management solutions. I mean, how can these solutions, you know, help retailers overcome the different, you know, disruptors that we've talked about, and what capabilities should they look for in a workforce management solution?
Great question. I would say, first of all, workforce management you don't want it on an island, right? You need to have this solution integrated with your other products. So we were talking about order management solutions, right? Would allow you to take an inbound order from the web and decide how you want to best distribute that out, you know, fulfill that order. Think about integrating that order management solution with your workforce management solution so that the order management solution knows where the labor is to fulfill the order and how much capacity there is from a labor perspective. But also the workforce management solution then knows and can historically forecast how many orders we're going to have coming out of this store for a given day. So last November, right before the holiday season, I knew that I had to pick, pack, and ship 20 orders. I can assume something similar, maybe with a percentage of increase this year, so I can best schedule my labor to accomplish that task this year. So integration with those systems, even a TMS solution, right? If I know, you know, when the shipment's coming in, how many boxes are in that shipment, I can better forecast the labor, right, for my store to be able to unload that shipment within the retail environment. So integration with other solutions, I'd say, be a big piece. As far as a workforce management solution itself goes, you really want to find one that really allows you to best meet your business practices. So you need one that's going to take the metrics that are important to your business and then match that to your workforce solution. So maybe you're a very high dollar, you know, transaction number, but a low traffic count. And so maybe you want to have your key associates there when your transaction count is higher, or maybe you want to have maybe you're a high volume retailer that you really need to. You're a high volume retailer where traffic count's less important, right? So determine the metrics that are important to your business, then you can feed that into your workforce management solution to get the best schedule for you, right? And you really want to be able to schedule your customer facing labor different than your task based labor. So look for a solution that can do those types of things for you. So I'd say integration with other solutions and then having one that can really work well as far as matching up with your business requirements, right? Everybody's a little bit different, right? There's a lot of different metrics. That's what makes each retail brand unique is what you bring to the table. And find a workforce management solution that will complement your brand, accomplish the minimum thresholds and tasks that you need to do, and get you the right employee at the right place at the right time. And quite frankly, at the lowest cost to take maximum advantage of your strategic asset.
Yeah, great, great, great input and advice there, Tyler. We're a little bit short on time here, so I'm just going to go right to my last question here. I mean, as a way to wrap up, I mean, what questions should retailers ask themselves to assess whether they're, you know, ready to address the disruptive impact of omnichannel, millennials, and labor laws on workforce management?
Have a strategic vision of what you want your retail store to be, number one, right? Is it a fulfillment center? Is it a pure retail outlet? Is it a mixed-use facility? What are you going to deploy in the store? And store operations professionals know this, right? You need to have a vision of what you're going to do with that valuable asset, right? If you think about it, retailers' big advantage over, say, Amazon is the fact that they've got this really wide, diverse footprint of stores, right? We're in the neighborhoods. Let's take advantage of that. So when you understand what the vision of what your retail store is going to be, then select the appropriate tools to support that vision. I would highly recommend a workforce management solution be part of that vision and have it aligned to your strategic goals. But I would say to your overarching message, as a retailer, look at labor not as, you know, as something that was inexpensive and let's just throw cheap labor at the problem, but look at labor as your strategic asset. That's going to help you get the maximum value out of the hours and the investment you put into it. And it's going to help you better interact with the millennials that we mentioned earlier, right? So look at that strategic, that labor as being strategic and an important part of your business plan. You know, it's one of those areas that retailers, if they're going to be successful, are going to need to keep focused on in the coming years.
Great, well, great words of advice there, Tyler. You know, like I always say, you know, we always manage to just scratch the surface of all these topics here at Talking Logistics. But certainly, I think we touched upon a lot of, you know, great topics, provided some great food for thought and insights and advice on them, and certainly provided some good, you know, foundation for conversation for companies as they kind of take this topic, you know, and hopefully start thinking about it and start acting upon some of the things that we talked about here. So just want to thank you again for taking the time to be with us today.
Adrian, thank you. It was a pleasure to be with you. Appreciate it. And long-time watcher, first-time participant.
Well, great. Well, hopefully we'll have you on the program many more times in the future. So again, I want to thank you for participating today, and I want to thank all of you who joined us live today. We didn't get any questions live, but if you do have a question for Tyler, you can find this episode on talkinglogistics.com, and you can post your question or comment there, and I'm sure that Tyler will be more than happy to respond via that medium. So again, thank you all for joining us today, and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.